Addiction devastates millions of Americans, and shaking off its grip is extremely hard. Earlier this year, Side Effects Public Media asked people in recovery to share their stories at a live event in Indianapolis. We'll share them in a series called Sober, Stories of Recovery and Hope. This story from Nathan Boyer shows how early an addiction can start.
Hello, my name is Nathan and I'm an alcoholic. I'm 48 years old, and if I live to be 100, I'm never going to stop being amazed that I can say that out loud and even with a little bit of pride. I've been sober now a little over 4 years, which means I was a practicing alcoholic from the ages of 14 through 44, but I was probably born one. I just wasn't lucky enough to get that first drink till I was an adolescent. I've struggled with pretty bad anxiety my whole life, since I was a little kid. Of course, in the 70s, there wasn't really anybody around to tell that to me or explain it to me. All I knew, I was scared and lonely all the damn time. I was crazy, desperate for everybody in the world's approval, but never really brave enough to do anything to get it until I found booze. That stuff was like magic. Give me a few drinks and I was a whole new guy. Kind of a scary secret, and I almost hate telling people this, but it's true. Alcohol is excellent at reducing anxiety, short term. The fears I had of accomplishing average everyday goals got replaced by big dreams for my future, and begging for everybody's respect got replaced by expecting it. For Christ's sake, I could talk to girls. You know what I mean? I basically went from being a geeky little loner to a cocky popular kid through the power of alcohol. And I did this during a period of life where you're supposed to be developing healthy social skills and coping mechanisms. But I just skipped all that. No problem, though. I was happy, right? Usually. So why worry? But life kind of changes on you over time. And the teenage worries about anxiety turn into grown-up worries, like finances and careers, real love and family commitments. And that sort of thing gives healthy people anxiety. I didn't have a clue how to deal with any of it, at least not sober. And in addition to that, a little bit wasn't really going a very long way anymore, just like any chemical addiction. What started out as every weekend when I was at a party turned into every few days, which turned into first thing every morning. This took decades to happen, but it was inevitable. Because the thing about alcohol is, as good as it is at attacking that anxiety in the beginning, it starts ratcheting up the anxiety later on, making it even worse. And in addition to that, your body builds up addiction, you know, or tolerance, rather. So, you know, you get to a point where you need a few drinks just to get back to what you used to call normal. Toward the end, I always had a bottle stashed under the seat of my car because I wouldn't need a refresher through the middle of the day. If I was home alone, I'd knock out a fifth of vodka 2 or 3 hours straight out of the bottle. You know that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where Karen Allen and the big Mongolian guy are having the drinking contest? Not in my league. Not even close. I regularly drove my grade school-aged children around when I was hammered. My wife, who loved me very much indeed, was on the verge of leaving me. Back in 2012, I lost my job because I was drunk at the office. I had worked at that company for 16 years and had been climbing the corporate ladder, but oh well. And a really astounding thing, in my mind, the drinking still wasn't the problem. And this is why when you're in an AA meeting, the only people that are allowed in the room is other addicts. Because anyone that has not experienced addiction has no clue the power of that pathological addiction. See, this all made perfect sense to me, because by this point, I had been professionally diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. So that's my problem. Okay? All I need is to get a good prescription for that to go with the booze, and everything's going to be fine. You should have heard the way I kind of skirted around drinking when it came up in therapy sessions or talking to a doctor. Alcoholics are all Academy Award level actors, and they have to be because they're trying to convince even themselves. Then, in the spring of 2014, I had my moment. My 13-year-old daughter had been in a musical at school, and I volunteered to help break down the sets and stuff when everything was done because I'm so altruistic. So I showed up at school with my power tools and a pretty good drunk on, like most days. So I'm taking the roof off of a false storefront, and I fall off of a 10-foot ladder to the stage. And I bust my head open. I broke and dislocated my right shoulder, and I broke several ribs. And I did this in front of my 13-year-old daughter and her friends and their parents and her teachers. Now, remember the anxiety issues I was dealing with that started this problem, right? Well, both of my children, same problem, to one degree or another, all right? So can you imagine the horror and humiliation that little girl felt at that moment? I can. I did. And that was my moment of clarity. Not even my broken brain could justify any part of that. So 2 days later, my wife checks me into a rehab facility. I just didn't really have strength left to fight about it. I felt defeated. And honestly, I didn't think for a minute that I was starting a program of recovery. I didn't see any chance in hell that I was going to be able to quit. But I also didn't see any options. At that point, in my mind, I was either going to lose my family, my career, my life, if I didn't stop drinking, or I was going to lose myself and my happiness if I did. I mean, remember, at this point, I'd never spent any significant amount of time in my life happy with who I was when I was sober. I didn't even know how to be me without a drink. At the way I looked at it, my problem was unique, right? Unique to the world. No one could possibly understand, let alone help. This disease is really good at telling you those kind of lies. And you believe them. You believe them right up until and sometimes even after you get hard proof otherwise. That's really one of the hardest things about this is in your mind, you're just utterly alone. You're weak and you're guilty and you're just too broken to fix. Otherwise, you would have fixed it on your damn own by now, right? So no one can understand. No one can help. Too broken to fix. Screw it. I'm going to have another drink. And I know there's people listening to this right now that can relate to that feeling. But as it turns out, I was wrong. I was very wrong. There are an awful lot of people that understand exactly what I was going through that have been where I was. And there's a lot of people that can certainly help. And the best thing is I was not too broken to fix. So I started the hardest thing I've ever done with an awful lot of help from an awful lot of other people because I could not do it on my own. And that's okay because you're dealing with a disease that clouds your judgment and makes you lie to yourself every day. Of course you can't do it on your own. Oh, and once I took the alcohol out of the equation, I addressed the anxiety issues with therapy and medication that works if you don't wash it down with vodka. And I found out that I can be the man that I always wanted to be. I am still the man my wife fell in love with. I'm a better father than I ever was, and I'm just a better person in general. And these are all qualities in me that I've had my entire life but was never able to see on my own. Well, that's pretty much my story, and I hope telling this story lets somebody out there that has no hope, that doesn't see possibility, somebody that is too broken to fix, do something about it. And even more so, if you are that person right now listening to this, please take a leap, get the help. But if you're anything like me, you'll probably have to fall off your own ladder.
This story was produced by Matt Pelser. You can find the full series at sideeffectspublicmedia.org. Monday night at 9, tune in to WFYI for an hour-long special on these stories.